In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sorry about that. When I lose my train of thought, everything goes out the window. All right, here we go. We'll start at the paragraph, the bottom of page 13. So Jesus says, how many times my sacramental life remains obstructed in the few hosts? So here Jesus is showing us what happens, he says, in which I remain consecrated because of the few are the communicants. Other times there are no priests to consecrate me, and it is not my own. It is not only my sacramental life that's not multiplied as much as I would like, but it remains without existence. There's no hosts. Oh, how my love suffers. I would like to multiply my life every day into as many hosts. See what Jesus is saying? I want all of humanity to be at Holy Mass, all of humanity to receive Holy Communion every day for as many existing creatures. And I give myself to them, but I wait in vain. And that's where we are. Like I said, the churches are empty. My divine will remains without effect. However, what I, God, have decided, everything shall have its fulfillment. Therefore, I take another way, and I multiply myself in each living act of the creature done in my divine will. So here he's saying, I'm going to do this, whether it's going to be done by God. So he says, to have them substitute for the multiplication of my sacramental lives. Ah, yes, only the souls who live in my divine will shall substitute for all, and the communions that creatures do not do, for all the consecrations that the priests do not do. And in these souls of the divine will, I shall find everything, even the multiplication of my sacramental life. So you see what Jesus is doing. He's in charge, and he's saying, what I'm going to do is, you know, it's going to over, see, he says to Luisa, I'm going to overwhelm the world with love. The world will not be able to say no to me. That's what's coming. It's really a new beginning for all of humanity. Volume 14, 7, 6, 1922. Then after this, I followed the other hours of the Passion. While I was following the Eucharistic supper, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior, and with the tip of his finger, he knocked strongly within my heart, so much so that I heard him with my ears. And I said to myself, what could Jesus want that he is knocking? And he calling me. You have to remember, this is what he's doing with us. He's calling us. Told me, it was not enough to knock so as to be heard, but also to call you so as to be listened to. See, the book of heaven, Jesus says, I'm calling all of humanity. He says, it's for everyone. But he says, in reality, it's for only those who want it. So he's calling us. He says, listen, my daughter. While I instituted the Eucharistic supper, I called everyone around me. I looked at all human generations from the first to the last man in order to give my sacramental life to everyone, and not once, but so many times, for as many as he needs corporate food. So he's saying, I mean, he's saying, I want to feed my people. You know, today's reading in the gospel, he feeds the 5,000 with the third bread. He feeds us right now with the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. So that 15 minutes, we are one with God. We are in communion with God. That's why the Holy Mass ends right after receiving Holy Communion, right after the last blessing, the last prayer, the last blessing. It ends. Why? The church does not want to interfere with our communion. And now Jesus says, I'm going to give you the first bread, the perennial communion with God. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. So he says, He said, I looked at all human generations from the first to the last man in order to give my sacramental life to all, not once, but for so many times, for as many as man needs corporal food. And I wanted to constitute myself food for the soul. But I was very troubled at seeing that my sacramental life would be surrounded by scorns, by neglects, and even by ruthless death. I felt ill. I experienced all the grips of death of my sacramental life, so harrowing and repeated over and over and over. I looked more closely and I made use of the power of my divine will, and I called around me the souls who must, this is what he says, must live in my divine will, the souls who will live in my divine will. And oh, how happy I, God, felt. I felt surrounded by these souls whom the power of my divine will kept as though submerged. And he says, and who had my divine will as the center of their life. I saw my immensity in these souls of the divine will. And I find myself well defended from all. And to them, I entrusted my sacramental life. I deposited it in them so that they would not only take care of it, but requite me for each host, each consecrated host, with one life of theirs. And this happens naturally because my sacramental life is animated by my eternal will, and the life of these souls in the divine will has my divine will as their center of life. Therefore, when my sacramental life is formed, my volition acted in me, acts in them, and I, God, feel their life in my sacramental life. They multiply with me in each host, and I feel I am giving life for life. This is where we are. That paragraph there, if you want to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, read this over and over and over again. I mean, Jesus is saying, you're with me. Completely, completely, completely. Oh, how I exulted in seeing you, Louisa, as the first one. You, Louisa, whom I called in a special way to form your life in my most holy divine will. Louisa is the first one, and we are linked to Louisa. And Jesus says the same thing to us, whom I have called in a special way to form my life, your life in my divine will. So he says, Louisa, I made you the first deposit of all my sacramental lives. I entrusted to you the power to and to the immensity of the supreme volition that your acts will render you capable of receiving this deposit. And from that time, you were present to me. And I constituted you, Louisa, the depository of my sacramental life. And then he says this. And in you, Louisa, all the other souls who would live in my divine will. So we are consecrated to Louisa, and we are also one who is the depository of the sacramental life of Jesus. You have to understand, God is doing this. And this is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. Why are we alive today? I mean, I've heard people say that since I was a kid. Some say, don't say kid, say child. I was in this life since I was a child, hearing people going, why am I born today? Why am I born? If you get a glimpse of this divine will, we were created to live at this time, predestined to live at this time, to possess a gift that Adam had, and then he lost it. Possess a gift that Jesus and Mary possess. And now he's given it to Louisa, and he gives it to us. I constituted you. This is what he's saying. The depository of my sacramental life. And in you, Louisa, all the other souls who would be living in my divine will. This is the greatest time to be alive. We have the responsibility and the duty to be with our God in the Holy Eucharist. We have this responsibility and duty. God created us to be alive at this time, to give us what he said I wanted from the beginning. I wanted everyone to possess this gift. I want everyone to receive Holy Communion. And he says, it's usually despised. You know, and the sacrileges that occur, how awful this is. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to understand, I'm giving you something that I wanted to give to all of humanity, but all of humanity doesn't want this. So would you do this for them? Would you receive Holy Communion for them? Would you live this abundant life that I gave to Our Lady? Would you receive this abundant life that I gave to Luisa, the firstborn, Our Lady Theotokos, Mother of God, Luisa, the newborn of the divine will? See, God has saved the best for last. This is why he's holding this book of heaven. It's his. He kissed it. He blessed it. And he says, this is me, he says to Luisa. I'm very happy that you put down on paper what I gave to you. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, the whole world is changing. That's what our Lord said to Luisa. When the book of heaven is released to the world, the whole world will change. The whole world will be set on fire. The fire is in us right now. I mean, you've heard of the flame of love. This is the fire, consuming fire of love. It's not just a spark from Poland. It's not just a flame. It's a consuming fire that our God wants us to enter into. This is unbelievable. As you read this, you every time I read, I just shake my head. I go, oh, you are so amazing. You are so filled with love that you have called humanity to be one with you, Lord. We don't deserve this. Jesus says, listen to what he says. Volume 15, 1923. My daughter, come into my arms, deep into my heart. Okay, here is a father calling his little daughter. He says, I, God, have covered myself with the Eucharistic veils so as not to strike fear. See, if we see God, we die. He's so beautiful. He's so holy. He's so perfect. He's so loving that this human body could not endure it. He's so beautiful. So he says, I'm covered myself with Eucharistic veils, not to strike fear, to terror. I mean, God is so beautiful that our eyes couldn't endure it. I have descended into the deepest abyss of humiliations in this holy sacrament in order to raise the creature up to me, identifying the creature with me, so much so as to form one single thing with me. And this is why when you pray your pre-veening act in the morning to fuse yourself with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to fuse yourself with through Jesus, Mary, and Luisa, to fuse yourself with creation, redemption, and sanctification in order to live in the divine will. Why? In order to enter into the prime act of God, the one single act of God. And this is what Jesus is saying. He says, I'm going to raise the creature up to me, identifying the soul with me, so much so as to form one single thing with me. That's the mystical marriage. That's the wedding feast that we're invited to. And by letting my sacramental blood flow inside her veins, it's his blood, constituting myself the life of her heartbeat, the life of her thought, the life of her whole being. It's God that's dwelling. It's God that's reigning. He has planned this. We haven't seen anything yet. My love devoured me and wanted to devour the creature in my flames. He wants to consume us. This fire from heaven is going to consume the whole world. The whole world is going to be consumed in the love of Jesus and Mary. That's what they gave to Louisa, to make her be reborn as another me, image and likeness. You see what Jesus is doing? It's not about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. To be reborn as another me. When we look in the mirror, the volume 1 through volume 10, we are called to be a divine mirror of Jesus. When we read volume 11 through volume 19, to receive the power and the love of the Holy Spirit, to live this life. And then finally, volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's to enter into this fusion with our triune God, fusion with what Jesus, Mary, and Louisa have done. It's a new beginning for humanity. This is why I wanted, Jesus said, to hide myself under the Eucharistic veils. So hidden, again, like we said right from the beginning, Father Bucci says, you must be little, insignificant, and hidden to be like Jesus, to be like Mary. Either into her to form this transformation of the creature into myself, to enter into the soul to form this transformation of the creature into myself. This is what God has planned. This is what is happening. This is why the souls of the divine will are so happy. You're with Jesus all the time. Your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity is nailed to the cross with Jesus. Your sin is nailed to the cross with Jesus. It doesn't belong to you. What belongs to you is what Jesus says here. I want to be hidden in the Eucharist to enter into you, to form this transformation of the creature into myself. But he says, in order for this transformation to take place, the dispositions were needed. We have to be disposed on the part of creatures. So he says, my love, giving in excess as it instituted the sacrament of the Eucharist, It issued from within my divinity more graces, more gifts, more favors, more light for the good of humanity, to render humanity worthy of receiving me. So Jesus says, I prepared everything. He says, now I'm preparing sanctification. Everything's ready. He says to Louisa, everything is ready. Now it needs to be known. Who needs to know it? We need to know it. Your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want it. Your parishioners don't want it. We want to know it. So he says, learn about this. So what has he done? He's given us the book of heaven. What has he done? He's isolated us. This is great. This is great to read, to study, to put this into practice. We haven't learned anything yet. We haven't learned anything yet. And as we read, he says, I'm going to fill you to overflowing with what I wanted to give to Adam and his children from the beginning. It's even more now. It's not only what Adam lost that we're going to receive, but what Jesus and Mary gained that we're going to receive. He says very clearly, he says, I want to render you worthy of receiving me. He says, I could say that it put out so much good as to surpass, listen to this, the gifts of creation. First, he said, I wanted to give them the graces in order for humanity to receive me and then myself to give them the true fruit of my sacramental life. This is what we're getting. He wanted to give us the graces to receive him. And now he wants to give us the true fruit, be fruitful and multiply of my sacramental life. We haven't seen anything yet. That's why Jesus said to Louisa, wait till you see how the power of the Eucharist when the divine will reigns. Wait till you begin to enter into this life. Jesus says, however, in order to anticipate souls with these gifts, it takes a little of emptying of themselves. What is number one? The hate of sin. The desire to receive Jesus. The hate of sin and the desire to receive Jesus. These gifts do not descend into rot or into mud. So without my gifts, they do not have the true disposition to receive me. And in descending into them, I, God, do not find the void in order to communicate my life. This desire, this emptiness, this wanting, this longing for God. And therefore, I am as though dead for them, and they are dead for me. I burn with love. My sacred heart is burning with love, but they do not feel my flames. I am light, and they remain more blinded. Alas, how many sorrows in my sacramental life? Many for the lack of dispositions. Again, the hate of sin and the desire for God. The hate of sin. Sin has to be hated. Let's just think of a movie, one of the famous movies, the Titanic, filled with every mortal sin, the greatest movie ever made. We applaud it. There's no hate for sin in that movie. It wins all the awards. Every mortal sin was in that movie. We've got to hate sin. Something's on TV. Oh, it's not good. No, it's not to be even glanced at. It's to be hated. Oh, it's only that. Everybody does that. No, it's to be hated. The hate of sin, Jesus says, and the desire for God. He says, many lack for dispositions, feeling nothing good in receiving me. Reach the point of nauseating God. And if they continue to receive me, it is the form of my continuous Calvary and their eternal condemnation. There's no hate for sin in our lifetime. Oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's okay. No. It is not the love that pushes them to receive me. It is one more affront that they give me, one more sin that they add upon their souls. Therefore, this is what he says to Luisa to us, pray and repair for the many abuses and the many sacrileges that are committed in receiving me in the Holy Eucharist. Pray and repair. When you know something and what's going on, pray for these people. Repair in the name of everyone and everything, for everyone who received you unworthily today. I'm sorry, Lord. I want to repair this as if it didn't happen. The repairing and the redoing is what we're called to do in the divine will. Volume 15, 5-2, 1923. Jesus said, Our Father, in the name of all. And Jesus said, I ask you, Heavenly Father, for three kinds of bread each day, bread of your holy divine will, or rather, more than bread, because if bread is necessary two or three times a day, this first bread is necessary at each moment and in all circumstances. We need this first bread, the bread of the divine will. Even more, it must be not only bread, but it becomes like balsamic air that brings life, the circulation of divine life in humanity. How many people need oxygen more than ever today? Jesus says, I want to breathe in you divine life. I want to give you, I want you to possess this divine life. Father, if this bread of your will is not given, I shall never be able to receive all the fruits of my sacramental life. Heavenly Father, if this bread of yours is not given, this first bread, bread of the divine will, I, Jesus, shall never be able to receive all the fruits of my sacramental life. And that is the second bread that we ask of you every day, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. The first bread is the bread of the divine will. The third bread is your wonder bread, your daily bread. The second bread is the supersubstantial bread of your holy divine will. Oh, how my sacramental life feels discomforted because the bread of your will does not nourish them. On the contrary, it finds a corrupted bread of the human will. Oh, how disgusting it is to me, how I shun it. And even though I go to them, yet I cannot give them the fruits, the goods, the effects, the sanctity, because I do not find our first bread in them. And if I give something, it is in a small proportion according to their dispositions, but not all the goods that I, God, contain. And my sacramental life is patiently waiting for mankind to take the bread, the first bread of the supreme will, in order to be able to give all the goods of my sacramental life. That's where we are, unfortunately. See, Jesus wants us to receive him in order to begin to live a life of heaven. The Holy Eucharist is God, body, blood, soul, and the divinity of God. It's the greatest secret on earth. How do we know it's the greatest secret? The churches are empty. The churches are empty. And some of the churches have been closed for, 2 years? You're going to see the churches just disappear. I mean, as this year continues, you're going to see why the churches are going to disappear. And it's not that the church is not good. It's God's giving to everybody what they want. And for those souls in the divine will, he's giving us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. He's giving us everything. And for us, as we enter into this gift, through all the trials and tribulations that are coming, we're going to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. Why? Because our focus is on Jesus in the kingdom. Our focus is on the new Adam and the new Eve, Jesus and Mary. Our focus is on this firstborn, the newborn in the divine will. And God is saying to us, I want to give you everything that I gave to her, as much as you want. Everything's ready. And he's looking at us and he's saying, what do you want? What is your priorities? And if we're saying it's oxygen, he goes, I'll give you some more if you need it. He's saying to us, what do you want? And we're saying, I want the first bread. I want the bread of the divine will, so that the Holy Eucharist that I receive manifests itself in the way that you, God, are calling it to manifest. You yourself want to manifest in me. So he says, then I ask for the third bread, the material bread. Okay. How could I say, give us this day our bread, in view of the fact that man would do our will, what was ours would be his, and so the Father would no longer have to give bread of his will, the bread of my sacramental life, and the daily bread of natural life, to illegitimate, usurping evil children, but to legitimate and good children, who would share the goods of their father. It is because of this I said, give us our bread. So here Jesus is saying, yes, we pray for daily bread. Yes, we pray to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. He says, but the first thing is necessary is the first bread, the bread of the divine will. He gives us the book of heaven to go over it. I mean, like I said, brother James basically said, you know, I want to hear about the Eucharist and the divine will. And so one word, Eucharist, that's this talk. Each word that Jesus speaks to us is a book. And as we read this, he's expanding more and more our understanding, our love. He's expanding his love in us. He's expanding everything so that we can participate in what God is going to give to all of humanity. And he's saying, I'm starting it now in a way that I didn't give it to the saints. The saints didn't receive this first bread because they didn't have Louisa. As Father Bucci said, St. Francis was for his time. St. Clair was for her time. Louisa is for our time. The more we understand what Jesus has done with Louisa, the happier we become. He keeps on expanding our capacity. He says, I'm not going to fill it up and then just, that's it. He says, as you enter into this gift, it will be filled to overflowing. He will continue to do this for all eternity. Because we're finite, we can't contain God. It's going to be filled to overflowing. And that's what he's doing. As you read, as we study, as we put this into practice, it's really a new beginning for all of humanity, ourselves and everyone. It's affecting the whole world. The whole world is changing. And the evil ones are really angry. They're really upset because their world is coming to an end. How do we know this? Well, it's Pope Leo XIII heard the devil say, give me 100 years. God gave him 100 years. Now it's Jesus's 1,000-year reign. And that's one day. A day will be like 1,000 years. 1,000 years will be like a day. That's what Adam had. God said to Adam, if you eat of the fruit, you will die that day. He died at 930 years. That day he died. 930 years. It wasn't even one full day yet. And so what Jesus is saying to us, get ready for the new heavens. Get ready for the new earth. Get ready for the new Jerusalem. Get ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because everything's ready. Jesus says that to Louisa. Everything's done. So what is he doing? He's separating the goats and the sheep. The goats can't endure the cold. They have to be put in the cave. The strong ones, the sheep, can endure the cold. That's what we're going through. The evil one can't endure what's coming. And the evil one can't endure what's coming. And that's why he's separating the weeds and the weed and the wheat. The weeds and the wheat. He's separating that. Just look at everything. There's two in everything. What do you want? God says. What do you want? You have to choose what you want. And then I will give to you what you want. I have to give you what you want. So when you think about it, right now, out of 8 billion people, 1 billion are Catholic. Out of that 1 billion Catholics, 70% don't believe in the Eucharist, according to what they say. So you got 30% of 1 billion. And out of that 30% of the 1 billion, you know, how many are wanting what God wants? It goes right down to a sliver. And Jesus is saying, I have to give you what you want. So if you have the book of heaven, you wanted it. Somehow, some way, you've said something to God and he goes, well, here it is. Here it is for you. You wanted this. Here it is. Somewhere in, you know, it could have been your great grandparents praying for you, but you have the book of heaven. And now Jesus says, since I've given you this book, I haven't given it to everyone. If I've given you this book, what are you going to do? And as we read this, as we study this, like we read today, he says, I want you to be the bread, the water. I want to consecrate you as a living host. If you've read the diary of St. Francis, how beautiful St. Francis, St. Faustina. If you read the diary of St. Francis, I said it again, St. Faustina, you're filled with joy. Now Jesus is showing you how to become a living host. He's going to do it. He's going to do this. So he says this. He says, let's see. Okay. Okay, so this daily bread of natural life to, he says, the bread of my sacramental life and the daily bread of natural life, he says, are given to illegitimate children, given to usurping children, given to evil children. He says, no, but to legitimate and good children who would, see, they're the ones who hate sin. Those are the ones who desire to be with God. He says, that's us, who would share in the good of their father. It is because of what, this is what I said, give us our bread. Give us our bread. Then they shall eat this blessed bread. Everything shall smile around them. Heaven and earth shall carry the mark and the harmony of their God. Everything's going to be in perfect order. When humanity embraces this living in the divine will. And he says, Louisa, do you not want then that my divine will descend upon earth? And he, yes, we're with Louisa. Yes, I want your divine will to descend upon earth. He says, but just as redemption had its beginning in a virgin, as I was not conceived in all men, in order to redeem them, even though whoever wants redemption can enter and receive the good of redemption. And each one can receive me in the sacrament for himself alone. So he says very clearly, the redemption began with Mary, as I was not conceived in all men in order to redeem them. But even though who wants it can enter the good of redemption, each one can then receive me in the sacrament for himself alone. In the same way, now my divine will must have its beginning, and that's in you, Louisa. Its possession, its growth and development in the one virgin creature. This is what God breathed into Louisa. And then whoever disposes themselves, what does that mean? Hating sin and seeking God with their whole heart, mind, and soul, disposes himself and wants the divine will, can enter the goods that the living in my divine will contains. Everything that God gave to Louisa is ours if we wish. That's why if you go to louisapicaretta.me, everything there is yours. You can download everything. You can read it over and over and over again, as much as you want or as little as you want, 30, 60, or 100 fold. Everything's free. As Jesus says, what is given free, freely given, must be given away freely. It's yours. It belongs to you. It doesn't belong to any human being. And so Jesus is saying, listen what he's saying. He's saying it must have its beginning, possession, growth, development in one virgin, Mary, Louisa, and then whoever wants to dispose themselves, wanting to hate sin and desiring God, shall enter the goods that living in my divine will contains, the life that God breathed into Louisa. How glorious is this? How glorious is this? Volume 16, 10, 16, 19, 23. Nothing enters into heaven to live the common life with us if it is not completely divinized and transformed completely, completely, completely into ourselves. Nor can my divine will descend upon earth and carry out its life as within our own center if it does not find the human will emptied of everything so as to be fill it with all the goods that my most holy divine will contains. See, Jesus is saying all your misery, all your worry, all your fear, all your anxiety, all your complaints, all your negativity, all your sin has been crucified with me. It does not belong to you. Empty yourself that all that you're carrying that doesn't belong to you. Fill it with all the goods that my most holy divine will contains. Well, what is that? Read the book of heaven. Study the book of heaven. God's gonna fill you to overflowing. He says, this is what he has planned from the beginning of time. He says, it shall be nothing other than a most thin veil that can serve me to cover myself and to dwell inside of it, almost like a consecrated host, in which I, God, form my life. I, God, do all the good that I, God, want. I, God, pray. I, God, suffer. I, God, enjoy. We're going to be one with God, fused with God. That's why you do your prevenient act in the morning. You fuse yourself with God. Jesus says, when I hear this, he says, I go into ecstasy. I hear a soul saying what I have said to Louisa, and they're echoing it. Lord, I want to be fused with you. I want to live this abundant life that you breathed into Louisa, this newborn, this firstborn of the divine will. It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that we can have. He says, Jesus says, I go into ecstasy when I hear someone say every morning, I want to fuse myself with you, Lord. This is what Jesus is doing. And he says, the host does not oppose. The host leaves me free. Its office is to be there to keep me hidden and to comply in mute silence, to preserve my sacramental life. He says, and this is the point that we are at. Okay? Your human will entering into heaven and my holy divine will descending upon earth. Jesus says, this is where we are. This is where we are. Your human will is going to enter into heaven right now, if you wish. The divine will is going to ascend on earth right now, if you wish. Little by little by little. Every time you say, I want to fuse myself. I want to hate sin. I want to desire you, God. I want to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. God goes, good, good. And it's another little speck. Until we're completely empty of all that is human and embrace all that is divine. That's why Jesus came to earth. That's why Mary, Theotokos, Mother of God, had this gift. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, they breathe this into Louisa, a woman born of original sin, and now wants to breathe into us. All we have to say is fiat. And God says, good, good, breathe this in. Breathe this abundant life. Produce the fruits of what I have given to you in the Holy Eucharist. Become a living host, Jesus says. Wait till you see what I have planned, he keeps on saying to Louisa. So then there with a prayer, may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray for all the little children in the holy divine will to become divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next month.